Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Well, that last fellow there could have described yesterday's game. That was like the Hindenburg of football, to say the least, as Adam Teicher joins us now. I guess that was the thing that was probably most disappointing about the game, Adam, is the fact that it wasn't like the Giants went out there and rolled out some kind of great performance. The Chiefs had to really work at it to lose that one.
Yeah, they did. I thought when the Giants tried the halfback pass with James Reen and it got intercepted, I thought that was it. The Chiefs would take over the game from there because that's the kind of mistake that bad teams make, you know. And then the Chiefs made one of those of their own a little while later, and it became, you know, one of those games you used to see with the Chiefs when they were bad and they were playing a bad team. That's what it looked like, you know. A game when Todd Haley was coaching or when Herm Edwards was coaching. That's what that game looked like. Neither team could get out of its way, really, and somebody had to win, I guess. Giants were better. They just were.
No question about that. Hell, there was about eight times I thought, it's going to happen now. The danger's been averted. Yeah. And, you know, maybe the last part when I'm talking, you know, fourth quarter, Giants, Chiefs get the field goal. Giants immediately go three and out. I'm like, okay, it's game on. Chiefs will take over here. Yeah. And then they immediately have their own three and out.
Yeah, but I thought the Chiefs, when they were driving toward the end of the game, they get the big pass to Kelce, and they got the ball, at about the 30-yard line with a minute left and still a timeout left. Mm-hmm. I was sitting next to Cody Tapp, and I was saying, all right, I think the Chiefs are going to win this thing now. You know, they're going to score a touchdown. And, of course, they had to kick the field goal there, and that was their chance to win when they couldn't score the touchdown at the end of the regulation there.
But as so often was the case yesterday, that went up in flames because of a penalty.
Well, it did
on
but,
offense.
Well, it did, but they also had the ball at the very end with four plays that they ran from the 23-yard line and in, and they never threw the ball in the end zone.
Right.
Well, that's part of the problem here. You know, that's part of the problem. You got to we were figuring the Chiefs had a number of plays there.
Yep.
That they could have run toward the end of the game, but I don't think they did themselves any favors. I mean, you got to be – once you're in field goal range, and things were maybe a little trickier yesterday because of the wind, but with regard to the field goal, but I think they could have been more aggressive toward the end of the fourth quarter there with their play call and trying to throw the ball into the end zone. It looked like to me they were playing for a field goal there.
It did, and then they won the toss, so they, they get the ball, and again, you're thinking, oh, well, they'll at least go down and get a field goal here, and then no, six and out. I guess that's an unfair way to put it, but they get one measly first down and don't get it done. And, one thing they seem to game plan for the wind, but then they run a trick play to throw a long pass in the wind. I mean, so a lot of the things didn't make any sense whatsoever. They threw, six, seven wide receiver screens to Tyreek Hill? So it seemed like they wanted to work along the, horizontally. But then they run a trick play that requires the ball to be in the air forever.
Yeah, it didn't make sense. And, it's just a mess. It's hard to believe how far the Chiefs have fallen, and I was thinking about this today, guys. And I want your opinion on this. In the Andy Reid time, 4.5 years now, and even going back some years before that, have the Chiefs had a more discouraging loss in the regular season, do you feel like? I can't remember one in the regular season. Certainly that Colts playoff game where they blew that huge lead, that was more discouraging. But in the regular season, I can't remember a game in a long time where – it felt like, all right, this thing, for a team that was once maybe considered to be a legitimate Super Bowl contender, this thing is now all of a sudden maybe hopeless.
Well, the thing is, most of their duds under Andy Reid have come somewhat early in the season.
Season opener against the Titans,
right,
in 14.
That was one.
So it doesn't seem – no, so it's not quite as disappointing because, you know, you got the whole season lying ahead. Here, you just came off a bye. You played a bad game. You're supposed to be self-scouting and self-assessing. You got an easy opponent there. You should be mopping the floor with them. Instead, it looked like they – really kind of kick back and relax during the bye week. I'm not saying the coaches did, but the mindset of the players certainly seemed to be in that regard because, we got the Giants. We're going to roll out of bed and win that game. And that it showed how bad the Giants really are because the Chiefs sucked and they almost won the game.
Yeah, Curtis, you mentioned that Tennessee game to open the season in 2014. You know, in retrospect now, we can see how bad the Titans were. But we didn't know that at the time. You know,
right.
they came to Arrowhead, and we thought maybe that was a pretty good team. And we know the Giants. I thought they played a pretty good game that day, the Titans did. We know the Giants stink. We know they played a bad game yesterday. We know they gave up 82 points in their previous two games. So to manage three field goals, wow, this one is unbelievably difficult to get your arms around how the Chiefs could be that bad.
Did you feel like Alex Smith was kind of trying to protect himself and or his reputation or whatever by not allowing himself to in any way get to the narrative that the wind was a factor? It clearly was a factor. I mean, an NFL kicker didn't reach the goalpost with an extra point. I mean, I'm not saying he should have said, hey, it was impossible to throw out there, but he threw the ball halfway to a wide receiver twice. I mean, did he just not want to say it because what it would be saying is my arm isn't strong enough on a windy day?
Yeah, or is afraid of it sounding like an excuse. It didn't surprise me that he wouldn't go there, but I think it did affect him. But it certainly looked like it affected him more than it did Eli Manning.
Yes.
So not that Manning necessarily had a great game either, but I thought that you just wonder whether the clock is starting to strike midnight for him again now, you know, because he looked a lot like the old Alex Smith yesterday. And if that's going to be what happens, then, it's hard to see maybe the Chiefs holding on to the division lead at that point.
How could it be, or how could it not be to me? I mean, it's a possibility that, like a pitcher who kind of comes up and it takes a while for the other team to get a book on him. I mean, a lot of defensive coordinators had not seen not only the Kareem Hunt factor, but the new and improved Alex Smith taking chances downfield guy. That was also something that people hadn't kind of gotten around to. And he's just the same guy he was the first part of the season. It's just the other teams now have figured out what they're going to, where they're going to go, what they're going to do, and what he's going to do. The Pittsburgh game was notable that a lot of the defensive players or the offensive players knew what the Chiefs' defense was going to do and just had to beat it. Is that a situation where the other team's defenses now know exactly what the tendencies are and not just the Kareem Hunt factor, but Alex Smith has lost his effectiveness as well because of that?
Yeah, and I don't think the Chiefs are doing him or anyone any favors at times with their play calling. And I'll cite a specific example of that, the shovel pass that eventually was intercepted. Chiefs have run that shovel pass to Travis Kelce out of that identical formation a few times this year. And it certainly looked like the Giants knew exactly what was coming because as soon as Smith threw the ball, they were all over Kelce. And I think the Chiefs need to figure some things out in that regard. Maybe, you know, you thought after a bye week, they'd figure out their tendencies and figure out, we've run this out of this formation. We can't do this again because guys are going to know what's coming. But that didn't happen yesterday, and it cost them a turnover.
Well, I think sometimes
the Giants first touchdown.
I think sometimes when you have a little bit of success with some things that are a little out of the box, you kind of feel bulletproof. And my concern about the shovel pass was exactly that play when they first started running it. Either the guy, because that, I think the thought for the play caller, Andy Reid in this case, is that, well, it's a no-risk play because if we shovel it and it's not completed, it's a forward pass and it's just incomplete. My thought was, well, first of all, Kelce can catch it and then immediately get hit and fumble it. Or that can happen. What happened yesterday, it's not a no-risk play. There's a lot of traffic in there. And it's nice when it works, but is Andy Reid with the trick plays and things like that just because he had some success with it last year felt a little bulletproof for plays that are actually inherently kind of risky?
It could be. As soon as I saw the formation, I said, okay, it's a screen or a shovel pass here. And if I know that, you know the Giants knew that. Right? I think we all knew that. So they weren't fooling anybody. Now, you know, if the Chiefs can out-execute you there, great. But they sure didn't fool anybody. And I think every time they line up in that formation and run a shovel pass, nobody's going to be surprised, including the opponent opposing defense.
Well, it's interesting you say that because on the flea flicker in the fourth quarter, I smelled a rat on that one. Because they were doing so much decoration before the pre-snap, I'm like, something's up here. This is too much. This is too much goo all over this formation. They were running guys like a circus act before pre-snap, and I'm like, something is up here. And I think the Giants saw that and figured it out because they weren't fooled at all.
Yeah, right. And at some point, maybe the Chiefs are just trying too hard here, and don't overthink it. Don't have Tyreek Hill throwing the ball into the end zone. Don't have Travis Kelce even it into a wind, 30, 40 yards down the field. I think the Chiefs are overthinking some things here and getting a little bit too greedy.
We had this question yesterday on the postgame show, and I think it is an interesting question. What would the narrative be today if they didn't call Janoris Jenkins for PI on the first play of the field goal drive, than if Alex Smith had concluded his day with consecutive interceptions on consecutive snaps and the game was lost? I mean, it was, I think it was pass interference, but I've seen it not called before when the guys are battling for the ball. What would we be hearing today?
I think that we're hearing a little bit of it anyway. It's time for Pat Mahomes. There's a lot of that out there, and I don't necessarily agree with it. I don't know that the Chiefs should make that move right now, but I think the chorus would certainly be louder, and Alex Smith's going to have to play better. That's just what's going to happen if the Chiefs want to shut this kind of thing up, because yesterday it wasn't good enough, and cost them a game. And picked a bad time to play a really bad game. And if this is the way it's going to be the rest of the season, that chorus is only going to grow louder and louder. If they hadn't called PI there against Jenkins, it would be louder than it is right now.
You were the one in the pregame yesterday who brought up the stat about the yards before contact for Kareem Hunt being way, way down. And they just can't seem to run him on first down at all. They can get no traction on first down virtually ever. These are all, minus one, zero, 1 yard plays. Curtis did the stat today. What was it again?
15 actual straight runs on first down, not counting quarterback scrambles or end arounds. 15 runs on first down for 42 yards, 2.8 per carry.
And on a couple levels, Adam, that hurts because obviously it puts you in a bad down and distance situation, but I think it's also making Andy Reid gun-shy on the running game.
Yeah, I think they have been guilty at times of going away from the run. Maybe not so much yesterday, but certainly in the Dallas game, I thought they gave up on it too quickly. And, that could be part of the problem in the passing game here now, that the Chiefs are just putting too much pressure on Alex Smith. And, you can't forget that two of the Chiefs' top three wide receivers are out right now. Chris Conley's out and Albert Wilson's out, and that seems to be making a difference there, too.
Let's look at the defensive side of it. Certainly it was better. The Giants didn't crack 300 yards until they got into overtime. But you know, the Giants aren't very good offensively, and they still ran for over 100 yards. They still put together basically a touchdown drive when in overtime when they needed it against the Chiefs defense. Should we take any signs of improvement yesterday?
Let me see him do it against a better opponent, you know. And I'm not
when?
Sure next week against Buffalo is going to be the week. You know, I just keep going back to certain things that you know. Yeah, the Chiefs were better. The results were better, sure, and you know that was better. But man, you know, on the fourth down play in overtime, you know, the Chiefs basically signaled, "Hey, we're going to be one on one on the corners." And one of those corners is Phillip Gaines, and we're going to be coming after Eli. And Eli saw that before the snap. He said, "I'm going after Phillip Gaines." And he didn't even he didn't look anywhere else. He just threw the ball up there, having a pretty good idea that he was going to get, you know, a play or a PI, and he got both of them. So this third cornerback thing for the Chiefs is a real problem. It's more. I thought the Chiefs. I'm guilty of thinking the Chiefs were okay at corner coming into the season. I thought between Peters and Nelson and Mitchell and Gaines as a fourth guy and maybe even DJ White playing a little bit, the Chiefs were going to be okay there, and I was wrong. I mean, teams are – our opposing quarterbacks are finding the weak link, whether it's Gaines or Mitchell or Acker or whomever, and making a living off of it or certainly killing the Chiefs at big times. And, it was only one play out of a bunch yesterday, but – to me, that's kind of symbolic of what's going wrong with the Chiefs this year. Is on a big play on the fourth down, they can't hold up. They can't they can't get it done. And you know, to me, that colors a lot for them yesterday defensively. Yeah, they were fine against a bad opponent for four quarters, but you know, when the game was on the line, they cracked and broke.
You know, the question was asked today, we know why Gaines. Last week it was Kenneth Acker, and week to week. And the question should be asked because they keep rotating guys. Andy Reid, I'm sure at some point in his mind, would like to, when he feels that question, just go, who would you start? I mean, you tell me who to play opposite
Marcus
Peters. I'll tell him
Terrence Mitchell.
But there's something that's happened there. But, I mean, he hasn't gotten much good use out of anybody consistently in that spot. Almost everyone he puts there. Mitchell might be the best of the bunch.
Well, at least he'll make a play.
Yeah, but it's the best of a bunch, of a bad bunch. And even he's had a run or two or three series where you're like, geez, can anyone cover anybody? Like just one time to have him say, you tell me who to start over there.
Yeah, and the fact that the Chiefs keep going from guy to guy here, from Mitchell to Acker to Gaines, and Gaines was playing earlier in the year.
Nelson.
That tells you a little bit about how the Chiefs are really searching there, that they don't feel like they're not comfortable with any of those guys because they keep switching them in and out. And, you know, and you can say, well, the Patriots do this. They match guys like that, you know, against particular opponents and all that. But the difference is that the Patriots – get results when they do it. You know, they're not searching for guys.
Right.
They're not, well, we got to try somebody else because Terrence Mitchell's bad, and we got to try somebody else because Kenneth Acker's bad. I mean, that's not how it is with New England. Generally, they mix and match and do things, different things for different opponents because for matchup reasons, and those guys generally get the job done. But in this situation, that's not what we're talking about. This is killing the Chiefs. I mean, they can't find a guy to make a play back there.
Adam Teicher joins us. He's from ESPN, obviously covered the Chiefs for a long, long time. And we're going to get back and ask him a question about that. That's been a little topic of the day today, right here on the program.
All right, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt end of the hour answer. Before the season, 12 non-quarterbacks have thrown an interception for the Chiefs. I asked for
That's too many.
In their history.
In their storied 12. History.
12 have done it. I asked for any of the 12. Because the last guy to do it wasn't a name that would rouse anyone's interest. Tim Castile against the Broncos in 2009.
I think
there's some big names in there.
Wasn't J.J. Burden a quarterback or something? Mm. The team didn't throw one.
James Saxon, Boyce Green, Jurrell Thomas, James Hadnott, Henry Marshall, Walter White, Ed Podolak, Otis Taylor.
Ed Podolak, I should have thought of.
Jack Spikes, Frank Jackson, and the first one to do it, Johnny Robinson, who was a halfback when he first played for the Dallas Texans before he became the best safety in the NFL, in pro football, and during his career. Should be in the Hall of Fame, but isn't.
Well, that brings up our topic I'm going to raise with Adam before we move on to what future lies ahead. I raised some hackles with some yesterday on our post-game show, including one Jack Harry.
I love the term hackles.
Who got very upset, and a couple of callers. But I think most people tend to agree because the facts are there. I think it's very fortunate for the Chiefs that one of the narratives you'll get, even from people in the so-called East Coast bias category, is this. Ian Eagle on the broadcast yesterday referred to the matchup in today's game of two storied franchises. What the hell is storied about the Chiefs franchise?
They've been around for 60 years or whatever.
The performance just isn't there. I mean, I think it's a great...
It's part of the open of Adam's segment.
I think it's
the Hindenburg since the Super Bowl. I think it's 93.
I think it's
all the stories are great, but there are a lot of stories, okay?
Yes.
In 50-some years. Maybe that's what he's talking about.
I don't know. Like I said, I couched in a positive way in saying that really is the thought. That this is a story, but the Chiefs have no performance to back it up whatsoever. I mean, zero. I mean, their postseason lack of success is staggering. So I think I give credit to the fans because I think it's Arrowhead, the tailgating, so on and so forth. The fact that Lamar Hunt was one of the founders of the AFL, obviously. But boy, since the Super Bowl that they won, it's a desert. There ain't no stories there.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. I mean, I would agree with that. I can't speak for what he was talking about there, right. Other than on these broadcasts. Sometimes the networks are I don't want to say kissing butt, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll tell a team's narrative. They'll say something to make somebody feel good that maybe isn't warranted. So. That's all I can think of there.
Hell, we've talked about it earlier. I can even make the case that the Browns are more storied.
Yeah. Well, they've got more stories, too. But, and to me, I don't take storied necessarily as accomplished.
Okay.
If he had said that, then I'd feel like you. Okay,
right.
wait a minute, time out. But, the Chiefs have had some good teams, maybe underachieved in playoff time. And,
right.
They've had some good players, and they have nothing to be ashamed of in that respect necessarily. I mean, they haven't had the postseason success that a lot of other teams have had, and that's a black mark against them. But so I think maybe I take storied a little differently than you do.
Right.
I if he had said accomplished, okay, now wait a minute, now
right.
That's going a little bit too far.
All right, well, if this is going to be a storied season, which at one point we thought it might, certainly things have to change drastically. But the point is, how are we going to be able to tell? I mean, I don't know if the Chiefs can do anything in the last six games to restore our confidence that they might be able to do something in the postseason because the level of competition is just hideous.
Yeah, and it is, and it's hard to... I can't get my arms around what's going on right now. I mean, this is such a drastic drop-off from what they were, at least on offense early in the season, that it's hard to know what's next. And I couldn't really realistically picture them losing to the Giants yesterday, particularly if you told me that, well, the Giants are going to play like they did. I would have said the Chiefs are good enough to beat that team, two, three touchdowns or more.
Yeah.
So, so right now, I believe the Chiefs are better than what they showed yesterday, but what reason do I have to say that now?
Right.
Obviously they're not as good as they were the first 5 weeks, but I just don't think they're as bad as they are in the last 5 weeks.
I guess if I was going to pick out one thing, because it's obviously the offense that has struggled. They basically have had one good game, and even the game where they had 29 points against Denver, only 13 came from directly really from the offense. They had 2 3 and outs and kicked field goals, and they got a defensive touchdown. So, that doesn't even count as a good day, even though they had 29. If I was going to pick the one thing out, it would be the fact that teams have either schemed or it's just happenstance or he's worn down a little bit. It's Kareem Hunt has not been a major factor. He's just been a guy the last 5 weeks, and I think that's probably maybe compromised everything in the offense some.
Yeah, it has. And, to me, it's not so much about him. It's about the Chiefs making things work around him. You know, that stat about him, in the first five games, he was averaging almost 4 yards per carry before he was being touched by a defensive player. I mean, that's a tremendous stat. And, this is before yesterday's game, over the previous four games, he'd been averaging 1.3 yards. So he was
and I don't think yesterday helped.
A third as well.
I don't think yesterday helped. He was hit early a lot yesterday. So
yeah, I don't know that it was any better yesterday or much better. It seemed like some of the better runs he had, he was breaking tackles and doing the things we'd seen him do earlier in the season. So, they've got to figure out a way here because this thing's getting away from them pretty quickly.
Well, it's also clear they don't have a change-up back. I mean,
West is just he's just there to block. When they hand him the ball, nothing happens. Or to throw him the ball.
Or to give Kareem Hunt a blow on his eye. I mean, to give him a playoff, because there's no impact at all when he carries the ball.
Yeah, and he's more – I've always thought of Charkandrick West more as a pass catcher anyway. I mean, I think that's what he does. He's on the team because of his skills in the passing game as a receiver and a blocker.
Right.
If he didn't excel or wasn't very good in either of those areas, he wouldn't be on the team if he just had to make it on the basis of his ability as a back. So, I did find it interesting. The Chiefs got Akeem Hunt a little bit of work there yesterday, and that maybe tells you that they're searching for a running option to Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, and he did get an early carry in the first series and gained 3 yards. Just nothing big ever happens. I thought it was telling as well, that the other weapons, when they got down close at the end of the game, they gave the ball to Dat on one play, West on another play, threw the ball away and scrambled. So four plays to maybe take a crack at the end zone and win the game, and none of their playmakers got the ball. So that was not particularly good. And we saw Tyreek Hill get compromised physically yesterday, and he was capable of going on offense, but they didn't want to have him return punts. I mean, is there anybody else besides DeAnthony Thomas? That's just an accident waiting to happen back there every time. He either makes a bad decision or he fumbles the ball.
Yeah, he did both yesterday.
Yes.
One drop and one bad decision. And those things are magnified when the offense stinks. The offense needs help right now. And, the Chiefs have some other guys who can do it. DeMarcus Robinson could do it. And
Let's try it, man.
I just don't know that, I think their best chance, the best guy, I do believe, without Hill is DeAnthony Thomas, but it's a big drop-off. He's clearly not as good as Hill is.
Well, I think that my concern with him isn't the fact that when he makes a play, he's got some ability. It's just that it's so often a negative play. I mean, it's so often a bad decision or bad ball security. I mean, his good plays are you can see the flash and dash. I can see it. I know why he's back there. But that's a place where security and comfort is more important than electricity, isn't it?
You can't make a mistake there.
Isn't it more important?
Yeah, well, except there's a fine line. Yeah, I mean, the punt returner's job one is to hold on to the ball. I mean, and, that's job one. And job two is not cost your team field position either by letting the ball bounce and roll or running backwards and getting tackled. I mean, that's kind of your first two jobs, and everything else, I guess, is gravy. But when the offense is struggling like the Chiefs were yesterday, I got no problem trying to have a home run hitter back there because, the chances of you getting a big play on offense aren't very good, and getting it done on offense just aren't very good right now.
That is true, but, you know, Buffalo comes to town. I can't even imagine what doing a show like this would be like in Buffalo. They are a wild card team going into yesterday. They switch quarterbacks, and the guy throws more interception in one half than the guy he replaces had all season long. I assume they're going to go back to Tyrod Taylor. At times, they have been pretty good on defense. I said earlier that the Chiefs could play probably exactly the same game they did yesterday, and at home against Buffalo would probably win. You don't want to do that, but it's going to be a hard one to lose, isn't it?
Well, that's what we thought yesterday, right?
Yes.
I mean, I think we were all in agreement there that we weren't comfortable. We thought that it was too easy. You know, everybody was saying, well, the Chiefs, you know, 10.5-point favorites. I thought that was ridiculous, but by the same token, you still thought the Chiefs would beat a team that wasn't very good, and they didn't. And, you know, the Bills are struggling now. I assume they'll go back to Taylor at quarterback, too, and that's you know, I don't think that's a positive for the Chiefs. You know, I could see the Bills, particularly if Taylor's quarterback, and I could see the Bills coming in here and winning that game. Yeah, they gave up a ton of points yesterday, but, you know, if you're turning it over five times in the first half, what chance are you going to have, you know? You know, I assume with Taylor's playing, that's not going to happen. You know, it's you know, the Chiefs are going to have to make their own way. And are they good enough to do it? I think they are, but my confidence in that is really shaken right now.
And the early line for this coming Sunday, Chiefs minus 10.5.
The same line.
Exact same number.
Well, that's probably more a factor that the Bills just got destroyed two straight weeks now.
Yeah. Right.
But you know what? The Giants got destroyed, one game in their previous two, and then they lost to a winless team the next week. So, you know, I'm wary of that. I mean, 10.5 sounds way too much to me.
Yeah, it does. Although, you know, one of these games, you figure the Chiefs will, hit the big plays. Were we just spoiled? Big plays are hard to come by anyway. I mean, let's face it. Even the best teams, even electric football teams, can go a couple games without big plays. The Chiefs got a whole pile of them early in the season. It seems to me like they're kind of trying it as much, but it's just not working. And add in the factor we just talked about, no Kareem Hunt consistency, so play action isn't as effective. The first down throws aren't there as much. Are you seeing that? Do you think they're trying as much, I guess, is what I'm getting at? And it's just not working?
Yeah, I mean, even when they make it, I do think they're trying as much, but you know, yesterday, to me, one of the plays that stands out yesterday that made a difference between winning and losing was the long pass, the 38-yard pass to Tyreek Hill. I think it was late in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
You guys remember the play? It set up eventually a field goal there. Hill was open. I mean, he was open deep, but Smith underthrew the ball, and you know, Smith or Hill had to slow down.
And fight.
Then he had to make a great play on the ball, and credit to him, he made a great play, and that was, you know, mainly on Hill. But what if Smith leads him? You know, what if he hits him in stride? That's a touchdown, and if that's a touchdown, the Chiefs win that game. So, you know, right now, to me, that's one of the things that's on Alex Smith a little bit. I mean, I don't expect the quarterback necessarily to put the ball in exactly the right spot every time, particularly, you know, 35, 40 yards down the field, whatever it was, but he's got to be better on that. I mean, when Tyreek Hill's your guy, throw it out there. Let him go get it. I mean, I've seen it happen. We've all seen it happen. I've seen it a million times, particularly on the practice field. He'll outrun the darn ball. I'm not kidding you. We've seen it before.
Right.
So, you know, with him, don't underthrow the guy. You know, let him go get it, and maybe you got 6 points there. So, you know, to me, that's one of the things that the Chiefs and Alex Smith are off on right now is it's just not working for them with with that throw.
Well, a little bit understandable. They say that was the direction of the field, that it was difficult to throw, and so Hill made a good play. But we'll see under better conditions if they can do it. And then that leads to the desperation we see. And when are football coaches going to realize that if you call a trick play, your player is going to throw the ball? Okay, he's not going to abort the play. That's one thing I think football coaches have to realize. They get too excited, they're going to throw it. We saw each team do it yesterday. These guys don't make a good decision, which in the easy good decisions for Kelce after he had to pull the ball down and scramble to his right was to eat the ball or just run. But they're not going to. That you got to factor that in when you call these plays, that the guy's going to throw the ball.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm always wary of guys handling the ball in those kinds of situations who aren't quarterbacks. I don't like the punter handling the ball for snaps. For kicks. I don't like that. I mean, I want a quarterback there, a guy who's used to handling the ball, who's used to those kinds of situations.
That ship has sailed. Nobody does that anymore.
Yeah. I mean, you still see occasionally a team that might do it that way, but you're right. I mean, that's a relic, but it still makes me uncomfortable. I think you're better off having a quarterback handling the ball in that situation, and it goes for the those trick plays. You know, the Tyreek Hill play against Denver a few weeks ago, the Travis Kelce play yesterday, and hey, even the Shane Vereen play yesterday for the Giants. I mean, these things turn out badly more than they work out, it seems like, or at least work out big, and that's what you get. You're absolutely right there, Danny.
Well, what do you see? I mean, the Chiefs could win all six games, and we might not know much more about them. I guess if they clobbered four out of the six teams, we'd feel better. But what do you see in the crystal ball here? Is it something you can kind of replicate once again? Or, I said earlier today that the Patriots and the Steelers have found traction. They are climbing the mountain. And when they climb the mountain, they don't go back down. They usually keep it up. And I think that they may not lose to anybody except each other the rest of the way. The Chiefs have not proved they're that team. So can they find it again? I guess it's a simple question.
They won't go back to what they were, certainly. Can they be, a potent team on a given day? Yeah, probably. I think they can be that kind of team, but they've been that before, and and that team rarely, if ever, showed up in the playoffs. So it's a tough road no matter what the Chiefs do. Even if you tell me, okay, they're going to win all six and finish at 12-4. Well, they're still probably going to be the third seed.
Yep.
And they're still probably going to have to win a first-round game and then beat both New England and Pittsburgh on the road. I don't see that. I mean, I getting back to that is mission impossible. It's kind of interesting. I asked Alex Smith after the game yesterday, Can you guys get back to what you were offensively early in the season? Now, I knew what his words were going to be. That was no mystery. I knew exactly what he was going to say. I wanted to see the conviction with which he said it. And I was kind of surprised. I mean, he didn't seem like he had to fake it. He was like, oh, yeah, absolutely, we can do this. And he went on to explain his answer. And, I think the belief is there. I don't think the confidence is completely crushed to the point where the Chiefs feel like they're going to play like they've played in New York offensively all season or the rest of the season. So at least that element is there, because I think that's going to have to be there for them to turn it around. But, while this isn't a great schedule coming up for the Chiefs, there's still some teams capable of beating them on there. Certainly if they can lose to the Giants, that's obvious that everybody can beat them.
Well, unfortunately,
the game against the Chargers is not going to be a gimme. The game against the Raiders is not going to be a gimme. Maybe some of the others will be for them. But, this is a scary moment for the Chiefs, because the way they're playing now, they're not going to win the division. I mean, things are going to have to improve to some extent if they're going to hold on to this lead.
Boy, if they don't win the division, they will have really collapsed, because the Chargers have a fairly easy schedule, but they about have to win them all and beat the Chiefs. So we'll have to wait and see. Adam, we always appreciate the time and the insights. Always fun for me.
Hey, anytime, Danny.
All right, that's Adam Teicher from ESPN breaking down the Chiefs, who've broken down themselves over the last 5 weeks.